Srila Prabhupada wrote to the Bhagavad Week leader, Sri Ratanshi, says, Prabhupada writes, in the shloka number 30, it is forbidden that a mundane person should indulge in hearing rasa lila, or should hear rasa lila from a mundane person. In your organization, both the audience and the lecturer are mundane persons, and their indulgence in the matter of rasa lila out of sheer foolishness will result in imitating Rudra, who swallowed up an ocean of poison. Nice analogy. Wow. That's the end of the letter. Abai warned that legal action could be taken against such a religious fraud. But Bhagavat Week continued, and hundreds were cheated. While the professed followers of Vedic culture were being baffled in their allegiance, modern westernized Indians were rejecting Vedic culture as backwards and irrelevant. There was Prime Minister Nehru, who wasn't at all spiritually inclined. He was for modernization and for what Abai called, quote, made in London ideas. At least Mahatma Gandhi, although he had never responded to Abai's letters, had been spiritually inclined. But not so his follower, Pandit Nehru. Still, out of concern for the way India's leaders were rejecting their country's spiritual heritage, Abai decided to write Pandit Nehru. Although in Bombay, Abai was practically homeless, in August of 1958, he boldly wrote the Prime Minister, expressing his conviction that India's spiritual culture must not only be revived at home, but also be distributed to the West. He reminded Pandit Nehru that from ancient Greece down to the atomic age, the Western world had seen only materialism and had therefore never known peace. If Nehru were to continue following the path of materialism, the only results would be strife and war. So here is an excerpt from the letter that Abai wrote to Pandit Nehru. Therefore, India may not waste her time in imitating the Western way of life. You have admitted it that the position of India culture is of high order. But at the same time, you want to bring in material prosperity by scientific advancement of knowledge. But what is that scientific knowledge? Spiritualism is also advanced scientific knowledge. Material advancement of scientific knowledge cannot give even the material prosperity to the people in general. Do you think that horseless carriage, or telephonic, or radio communication, or any other such ephemeral facilities of life can bring in material prosperity? No, it cannot. Material prosperity means the people must have sufficient to eat or to maintain the body very soundly. Do you think that your different plans have brought in that material prosperity? Or that modern Western civilization can bring in that prosperity? Even they are given that facility. The unrest will continue to go on till there is spiritual satisfaction of life. That is the secret of peace. Letter should be read.
is now.
But the secret of satisfaction in life?
Yes. So many are just scrambling to get computers and cell phones, thinking that that is the secret of happiness. This is so thoughtfully written. So, Satsvarup Maharaj Goswami continues, even without having been to the West, Abhay expressed his conviction that the Americans and even Russians were hankering for spiritual realization. They could not have become satisfied merely with material advancement. Pandit Nehru, therefore, should help his friends in the West by offering them spiritual knowledge from India. The letter continues. Poverty means poverty of knowledge. Prime Minister Chanakya used to live in a thatched cottage, but he was the dictator of India during the time of Chandragupta. Mahatma Gandhi voluntarily accepted the way of living of the so-called poor man, and he was the dictator of Indian destiny. But was he poverty-stricken? He was proud of his spiritual knowledge. Therefore, spiritual knowledge makes a man really rich, and not the radio set or the motor car, etc. Back in the 1930s, the Nehru family had bought their medicines from Abhay's Prayag pharmacy. And Abhay now appealed to Pandit Nehru as an old friend from Allahabad. Just as Abhay had requested Mahatma Gandhi, he requested Nehru to leave his political responsibilities, quote, as a popular gentleman of the world, engage the rest of your life in this organized spiritual movement to make a real adjustment of Western material science, combined with Indian way of spiritual realization, unquote. As with his letter to Gandhi, his letter to Nehru went unanswered. Srila Prabhupada Vinamrita Ki
Jai.
Thank you, Chetna. Is it like Sutrapada said, real poverty is poverty of knowledge?
It is powers of knowledge.
Poverty.
Poverty.
Poverty,
poverty of
knowledge.
Knowledge, yes. Poverty. There's that quote in the Ramayana, which is, what is the worst poverty? And the answer is poverty of vision.
Poverty what?
Poverty of vision.
Poverty
of vision. So I guess that's the same thing. When we just think that this little bit of material opulence is going to bring us happiness, that's poverty of vision.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with not having money in the bank. It's about being able to see the big picture.
Have you read maybe yesterday they posted on Dandavat's home? It was lecture by Shyama Sundar Prabhu and Giriraj Swami. Like their remembrances of early 70s in Mumbai and how they preached there. And I remember Giriraj Swami, what he said in the talk of Bukhas, he said, we were boys from the West, but we felt very good to go to the biggest offices of Mumbai and just tell them, you become a life member and you make your 10 friends life members. Why? Because he said, those businessmen, they could have millions of dollars, but their offices, they look so simple and poor compared to Western offices. Because like, as we know, still in India there are like some culture, yes, so these people probably, they were so rich, but they lived very simple in the same way. But the Western boys, that's why they could approach them.
I see.
Because like, when you see all the opulences of the offices, you just feel shy to go there and you say, oh, see, can you become a life member? And he like looks like me, like very simple. So it's,
that was in the 70s, and now it's...
Oh, I believe it's now this.
Everybody wants to look like they're in New York City.
Because like that material opulence, it brings also earthen reverence. And it's difficult to approach that. And if even very rich people, they live like simple, sadhus can come to their houses and preach.
Mm-hmm.
Because like otherwise there's so many guards, you cannot just get into the house. You want to preach, but there is a door, there is a guard, there is a code,
yeah,
door
yeah.
is locked.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I remember I read it yesterday. Thank you. So I think today is verse 21. Was last verse on Saturday this one? Shri Shukadev Goswami continued. After that, been fully instructed by Lord Brahma, who is the spiritual master of the three worlds. Priyavrat, to his own position being inferior, offered obeisances, accepted the order, and carried it out with great respect. Was it the last one?
I wasn't here on Saturday.
Oh, you wasn't? Dina, were you here on Saturday? Sitaram, were you here on Saturday in another Edgar class?
No.
Sergio?
She's upstairs, should I ask her?
So you could do it again and nobody would
No, I was planning 21, because I counted it should be 21, that's
yeah.
why I'm asking, just to confirm.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, maybe, you know, like, Madhya, she plays, like, Shri Prabhupada class, so that's why, like, I just wanted to be sure. So it's like the next verse, and again, it's not written, so I just read one time Sanskrit, and then I read word-for-word translation. Thank you, Sergio. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayana Namaskritya Narayana Vartamam Devam Sarasvati Vyasata Tutrayam Vidureya. Before reciting, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest. One should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of Brahma, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 21. Bhagavan api manana yathava Upakal pita pachiti priyavrata naradayor abhishamam abhishamik shamana yor atmasam avastanam avan manasam kshayam avyavahritam pravartayan agamam. Thanks. Word for word translation. Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The most powerful Lord Brahma.
The most powerful Lord Brahma.
Api.
Api.
Also.
Also.
Manuna.
Manuna.
By Manu.
By
Manu.
Yathavat.
Yathavat.
As deserved.
As deserved.
Upakalpita apachitihi.
Upakalpita apachita.
Being worshipped.
Being worshipped.
Priyavrata Naradayava.
Priyavrata Naradayava.
In the presence of Priyavrata and Narada.
In the presence of Priyavrata and Narada.
Avishamam.
Avishamam.
Without aversion.
Without aversion.
Abhisamikshamanayo.
Abhisamikshamanayo.
Looking on.
Looking on.
Atmasam.
Atmasam.
Just suitable for his position.
Just suitable for his position.
Avasthanam.
Avasthanam.
To his abode.
To his abode.
Avak manasam.
Avak manasam.
Beyond the description of mind and words.
Beyond the description of mind and words.
Shayam.
Shayam.
The planet.
The planet.
Avyavahritam.
Avyavahritam.
Extraordinarily situated.
Extraordinarily situated.
Pravartayan.
Pravartaya.
Departing.
Departed.
Agamat.
Agamat.
Returned.
Returned.
Translation by Shri Prabhupada. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinges of resentment. Having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. Report. Manu was certainly very satisfied that Lord Brahma has persuaded his son Priyavrata to take the responsibility for ruling the world. Priyavrata and Narada were also very satisfied. Although Brahma had forced Priyavrata to accept the management of worldly affairs, thus breaking his vow to remain brahmacharya and completely engage in devotional service, Narada and Priyavrata didn't look upon Brahma with resentment. Narada was not at all sorry that he had been frustrated in making Priyavrata a disciple. Both Priyavrata and Narada were exalted personalities who knew how to respect Lord Brahma. Therefore, instead of looking upon Brahma with resentment, they very feelingly offered him their respect. Lord Brahma then returned to his celestial abode, known as Satyaloka, which is described here as being impeccable and being unapproachable by words. It is stated in this verse that Lord Brahma returned to his residence, which is as important as his own personality. Lord Brahma is the creator of this universe and the most exalted personality within it. His lifetime is described in Bhagavad Gita 8:17. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahar Yad Brahmana Vidu. The total duration of the four yugas is 4 billions? Is it billion? Four millions? 300,000 years. And what that is multiplied 1,000, and when that is multiplied 1,000 times, it equals 12 hours in the life of Brahma. Therefore, we cannot actually comprehend even 12 hours of Brahma's life, to say nothing of the 100 years that constitute his entire lifetime. How then can we understand his abode? The Vedic literature describes that in Satyaloka there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. In other words, since Satyaloka is situated next to Brahmaloka, or the Brahman effulgence, it is almost as good as Vaikuntha Loka. Almost as good as Vaikuntha Loka. Lord Brahma's abode is practically indescribable from our present status. Therefore, it has been described as avan manasa gochara, or beyond the description of our words and the imagination of our minds. The Vedic literatures thus describe the abode of Lord Brahma. Yadvaya parartham tat Uparameshtyam na yatra shoka na jara na mrityur nartya na kodvega. In Satyaloka, which is situated many millions and billions of years away, there is no lamentation, nor is there old age, death, anxiety, or the influence of enemies. Ома гьяна тимирандася генанджана шалакая чакшарун милитам яна тасмай шри гураве намаха мукам карати вачалам пангу млангаяте гирим яд крипа тамахам ванде шри гурум динатарана нама ом вишну падая кришна приштха бутыле шишиман бхакти веданты с вами натину мина намасте сарасата деви горавани прачарине нировишеша шунявади паштитя даштирине джайши кришна читаня прабуните нанда шри адвайта гададхара шри вас ади гуру бхакта вринда Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I read the verse again. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinges of resentment. Having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind and or words. When I read this verse for the first time, I made 3 points which were like very relevant and important for me. I will share with you, hopefully it will also relevant to you. So first is, Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. So it's about like how we should treat the superiors, those who are senior to us. Respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. respect, we try to satisfy the senior person as well as we can. So we try to figure out what that person would like. It's a ritual. At the same time, there is something behind that ritual. So behind that ritual is respect. Of course, behind that is our understanding why we are doing that. When there is understanding, it's like naturally, but we respect that personality and we try to please him or her as well as we could. Next point is Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinges of resentment. And this is just amazing. It's also when we read Bhagavad Gita, the section where it is described sacrifice in different modes, and we read that sacrifice in the mode of passion, which is done in, I forgot the word, granji, mood. So it's like in such a mood that like you don't want to do it, but you do it. Which
begrudging.
Grudging?
Grudging.
Grudging.
Grudging
mood.
Begrudging.
Begrudgingly. Thank you. Yeah. So I mean, it's very relevant to me because like sometimes I know I have to do it, but like you don't want to do it like because you are mad maybe at somebody. But you have to do it because this person is senior or just you have to do it. And you do it. But you're doing it in such a mood and it is sad that it's actually in mode of passion. It's not what how it should be done. It should be done without the tinge of resentment. They were very happy. Although we can see like Narada Muni, he was trying to make a celibate disciple, like Brahmachari for the rest of his life. And Priyavrata, so both of them, they were ready. Priyavrata was ready to follow his instruction. Then Lord Brahma came and asked him, instructed him to follow his father, Manu, request, which was completely externally opposite. To enter Grihastha life, to rule, to take the rulership. Yet, they didn't resent at all. They were very happy. They were very pleased, both of them. Narada Muni was very pleased that his disciple-to-be, which didn't happen, but actually it happened, but like externally he started to follow Manu, that he satisfied Lord Brahma and his father Manu. And Priyavrata himself, he was also very happy. Although before that, he was determined to remain a celibate brahmacharya for the rest of his life. He was very happy to accept that order. So this is lesson for us, at least for me, how to accept the order of our spiritual master, of our superiors. Happily. We accept the order happily. If you are not happy to accept it, I guess we can go to our authority and humbly ask to clarify my doubts, if I have some doubts about that instruction. Because by clarifying the doubts, like when we get real knowledge why it should be done, we will be happy to accept that instruction. So at least this is how I see the situation. I want to ask, am I right? Is it like this when we have doubts? Thank you, Chetumai. And the third point, it's for me, as I said, I like the personality of Lord Brahma. As we know, Haridas Thakur, he's Lord Brahma, he's the Namacharya, or the holy name. And here again, the verse said, having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. And Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport that residence of Brahma as good as Brahma himself. And also we know, as we read scriptures, we find that there are many descriptions, of what happens on the earth, of history, what happened on the earth. There are little less description what happens in the heavenly planets. And the higher we go, the less descriptions of these planets there. So there are almost no descriptions of Satyaloka, of Brahma's planet. And why? It is said here because it is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. And again, thank you to Krishna Lila Prabhu for the book about Gopu Kumar. I always forget the name of that book. Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Yes, Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Vasilat Nikasan. Thank you. Because there is, in the part which I'm reading, it's a description of Brahma Loka. Short description. And so it is said that actually on Brahma Loka, there Brahma resides and great sages. And Lord, he always presents there in the form of Mahapurush. And that Mahapurush is described as thousand-headed,
Lord Vishnu. We flocked matted locks on his 1,000 heads. Can you imagine that? I've never seen that picture. And he has also like 1,000 of hands. And two his primary activities on Brahmaloka, on Satyaloka, is that he accepts the offerings, the oblations of Lord Brahma with all his thousands of mouth, with all his thousands of hands, and he's sleeping. After that, but he's accepting the offerings till they continue. And when offerings are finished, he goes to his sleeping quarter with Lakshmi. She's massaging his feet, and he's enacting his pastime of sleeping. So there are two pastimes. He's mostly enacting on that Brahmaloka. So in Brahmaloka, Lord is always with the devotees. He never leaves them. And but also it is said in that book that sometimes Lord Brahma, he goes to Shvetadvipa, like in the that example when Mother Earth came and begged him to do something. So he and demigods, they went to Shvetadvipa to ask the Lord to come to the Earth. And different acharyas, they explain why. Because it's actually no need to go to Shvetadvipa, because Lord Vishnu presents always at Brahmaloka. So Sanatana Goswami, his explanation was that probably Lord Brahma didn't want, because like if he goes to the Lord on his own Brahmaloka and Lord decides to descend on Earth, he will not be present on Brahmaloka for some time, because he will come as avatara on the Earth. So he just decided to go to Shvetadvipa and approach the Lord there. That is a nice description. So there is the description of Brahma's planet which I found. And what we have? We have this wonderful book, Brahma Samhita. And Brahma Samhita is, as we know, Lord Chaitanya, when he was on his pilgrimage to South India, he founded in one South Indian temple of Adi Keshava. Not whole book, just fifth chapter. And that book is actually heartfelt prayers of Lord Brahma, his vision of Galoka Vrindavana and how he's praying to the Lord. So this is a very beautiful book. And Lord Brahma, whose abode is indescribable by the words, he is describing Krishna's abode here in this book. And it's so beautiful. As we know, like, as Virat Srila Prabhupada is saying, that Brahma's abode is almost is as good as Lord Brahma. And we learn about Krishna, that Krishna is not different from his name, from his pastimes, from his abode. Yes, Krishna is not different from his abode. And as I said, Lord Brahma's abode is not indescribable by the words. And his abode is in the material world. And Galoka Vrindavana is completely spiritual. So just let read a little bit. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, so his language is like old language, and there are many words which maybe even native speakers don't know, but still it's very sweet. I worship, so the most, I guess, famous verse is Chintamani Prakara Sadmasa Kalpa Vriksha. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who stands in the chaos, yielding all desire, in a boat built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. So this is description of Galoka Vrindavana. I worship Govinda, in other words, the primeval Lord, residing in his own real Galoka, with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure. Actually, I don't know what does it mean. Resembling his own spiritual figure.
Radha's figure resembles...
Oh, about Radharani. So it's about Radha. So he's residing there with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure. The embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities. In the company of your confidence, Sakis, embodiments of the extensions of your bodily form, permitted and vitalized by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. So some parts of that I don't understand, I'm sorry for that. But I hope you do. And this verse is very important, how devotees, they see the Lord, and it is said that Lord is not different from his abode. So I guess we can see Lord's abode with the same, in the same manner. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So this is how we can see the Lord or his abode, spiritual abode. This is just a recommendation. And there is one more description. Two more descriptions. So lowest of all, so here Lord Brahma describes the whole, like all the parts of the world, material, spiritual. Lowest of all is located Devidama, mundane world. Next, above it, is Mahesha Dhamma, abode of Mahesha, Lord Shiva. Above Mahesha Dhamma is placed Hari Dhamma, abode of Hari. So this is Vaikuntha Lokas. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Galoka. And one more description. I worship the transcendental seat known as Shvetadvipa, spiritual world, where as loving consort the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. So it's about the gopis. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree. Where the soil is the purpose gem. All water is nectar. Every word is a song. Every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. The numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. Where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Galoka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, we can read about it. So this is what I wanted to read, and also I wanted to say that although this Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, Brahma's planet, is the most exalted planet of this material world, as we read, yes? Yet, the Lord himself, Krishna, he likes to descend on earth. Yes, not only on this earth, because there are many universes, like, he comes to the earth, and Lord Chaitanya, he comes to the earth. And when we read description of his own abode, yes, Galoka Vrindavana, it is said that it looks like we are images of Krishna. We have two hands. Like in Vaikuntha Loka, all residents, they have four hands. In some planets, also like living entities, they look different. Yes, we are his images. So this planet resembles somehow Vrindavan externally. Yeah, and we have embassies of Galoka Vrindavana here on the earth. It's Vrindavan and Navadvip. Yes, it's Lord Chaitanya's pastime's place. So that Vrindavana, if you see the pictures, it may look externally, just like other parts of India. All these trees, fields, lakes, Indian people in Indian clothes with their buffaloes, with their cows, you know. It looks like this. They have still covered men, old men. Usually they're very, very thin because they're dried out on the sun with huge turbans, like from the villages. And they wear little earrings in their ears. That's how they go. And they tie dhotis like up to their knees. So like half of their legs, like because it's more convenient like this to tend the cows. And they had the stick. So if you come, still there are some villagers. Because in Vrindavan temple, ISKCON Vrindavan temple, it's very famous. So many villagers, they just come there just to visit. Or they say Ingrezi Mandir. Ingrezi Mandir is English temple. So they call our ISKCON temple, which Srila Prabhupada built, Ingrezi Mandir. It's very famous. As we know, like the most famous temple is in Vrindavan, like is, always was like Banka Bihari temple. But our temple is so famous that all people who come to Vrindavan, they all want to visit that in Ingrezi Mandir. But also it may look little bit like all other parts of India. Everyone who went to Vrindavan, even those who don't like know nothing about Lord Krishna. Because now in Vrindavan, they put it also on tourist route. So some tourists, they just get to Vrindavan. Just they want to visit some, you know, sightseeing in India. So they get there. That place is completely spiritual. Although it looks like some other places on earth may look. And once you went there, even if you didn't go there, if you see the pictures, you feel something. If you went there, that's why like we can see that many devotees in ISKCON, not only in ISKCON, like devotees, they wear the t-shirts. I lost my heart in Vrindavana. You know, it's very famous. It's very famous. Just Vrindavana, not any other places, yes? Of course, sometimes there are jokes. I lost my heart in Vrindavana and wallet and glasses and this and that. It's just, they're joking. But the main point, I lost my heart in Vrindavana. Why? It's not different from Krishna. And mercifully, that abode, as Krishna himself, he descended on the earth 5,000 years ago, and his abode descended with him. And Krishna's pastimes now, they're not revealed. To us, they were revealed like 5,000 years ago to the eyes of those who were present, who were living at that time. But Krishna's abode is mercifully still present on the earth. So we can all go there with the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, of senior devotees, and experience that transcendental reality. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, it's possible. Okay, I'll read the verse again. Lord Brahma was then worshipped by Manu, who respectfully satisfied him as well as he could. Priyavrata and Narada also looked upon Brahma with no tinges of resentment. Having engaged Priyavrata in accepting his father's request, Lord Brahma returned to his abode, Satyaloka, which is indescribable by the endeavor of mundane mind or words. Any questions, corrections, or comments? Yes. Actually, thank you very much, because I also wanted to say it and I forgot. And I wanted also to ask the question, how it is that there is no death? Because as we know, everywhere in the material world, there is death. Mm-hmm. But I didn't find that. I have some guesses, but I don't want to speculate. So that's why I wanted to ask somebody. Maybe Krishna Lila probably knows.
I'll speculate.
Yes.
No, I don't know how the exact, but I believe, I'm 99% sure I've heard that they go directly back to the spiritual world from Brahma world.
In material world, everyone possesses material body.
It's a In
material
world,
everyone possesses material
yes,
body,
yeah,
so it's material.
Our intelligence is material body. It's just subtle material quality. The mind is matter. It's actually matter. It just doesn't have any dimension. It's more subtle than space.
Okay.
So it doesn't have any spatial quality, but it's matter. But you know, but then they're saying though that Lord Brahmaloka was totally spiritual, so I don't know. But anyway, all I know is his body is made out of pure intelligence. It's not an earthly body at all.
I also like one guess, I guess that because this is the part of the material world. In the material world, there is a chance to fall down, I guess, even from the Satyaloka.
Right.
Yes, so something like that. So it's almost good as Vaikuntha Loka with some small distinction.
Yeah.
I heard, I don't know like if it's Srila Prabhupada was saying, but Dr. Muktavendi Prabhu, he said that he also heard that. Like they said that when a spirit soul comes to the material world to enjoy, first life is life of Brahma.
Yeah.
But so how we ended up in this body, it's not Brahma's body, so by some chance, even from that position, it's possible to, I guess.
A lot of times, you know, you just become Lord Brahma, and then you go right back to Krishna Loka, and then some of us hang around. But I don't know where to find that, but I definitely know that. I've definitely seen that.
If you find it out, please can you give a reference, because it's so popular, but no reference.
Yeah. And also, Lord Brahma is about 50.
Oh,
so
nice to know.
This universe has been going on for about 150 trillion years.
And also, because like Srila Prabhupada took sannyas in Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. Okay, so we belong to Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. So the practice of Madhava Sampradaya in South India, like when you follow that spiritual sadhana, it is said that after 100 lifetimes of such strictly following, you become eligible to become Brahma, so you become Brahma. And then you go back to Vaikuntha Loka. That's what I heard. So Srila Prabhupada gave us direct entrance to Goloka Vrindavan. I don't know what else to say. Just Srila Prabhupada can jump. That's just amazing. Lord Chaitanya can jump. Anything else on that very interesting topic? Mother Dina? But so interesting.
Sometimes, you know, if you start reading it, and you know, you hear about this, Kali Yuga's 400,000 years, and then the four Yugas is 400 million, and you start really thinking how, you know, how infinitely small you are. The life of 100 years. Sometimes it happens to me, and sometimes it doesn't, but, I mean, 1 second, Lord Brahma is like 10,000 or 100,000 years, I'm not sure which. It's exactly 10,000 or 100,000 years here. 1 second of Lord Brahma.
It's also interesting, like you said, that Lord Brahma, he possesses body of pure intelligence. And just, of course, it's like, I have no compassion, but just to see now on a computer, they become more and more prominent, and even little kids, they play the games, and they're like, so body maybe not so fast, we cannot run so fast,
yeah.
But like when you play the games, you become another person. Yeah,
yes.
You can do it like in a, not just a second,
mm-hmm.
in a, I don't know, a moment.
So that would be
some
ideas.
Of course it's not comparable, but just a little bit to understand.
The machine and just have that interaction on an intelligence level. So we have that propensity, we're just dealing with the hardware, the body, and the computer.
Little Brahmas, creator of
the
universe.
Wasn't there a movie like that, Tron?
What's that?
They become computers.
Tron?
Yes.
Tron?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a movie, they're in a game and they become part of the game there.
Oh my god.
One other thing though, that's very. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Lord Brahma said when he saw Krishna, I'm the most intelligent person in the entire universe. I cannot understand Krishna with my mind, my intelligence. So nobody can understand Krishna with their intelligence. We can only get revealed by a devotion.
But we read how one can understand Krishna. Yeah. Whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love.
Thank you.
So salad was like an ointment, you know.
Yeah, I know
so
the meaning, but I don't know how to say it in English. I'm sorry.
So if we continue our devotional service, we will have a better understanding of these high-level yogas.
Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, devotees ki jai.
Yeah.